following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh my God, episode 308 happening. Here's the first one of 2020 here on this fifth day of January. It is a Sunday, the day of production. I do that now, I think, because, you know, to give the date and whatever, because there's no telling when a lot of you are going to listen to this. I think most people tend to pick it up the week or so it comes out. It may be listening today. I don't know. But be that as it may, it is a it's a new show. it's a dawn of a new era. No, it's not. It's a new decade. It's a calendar. It's a turning of the page. Those of you you may not know really. I've picked up kind of an interesting gig. I've done, I don't know, 4 or 5 months of this. I'm a columnist. Yeah, I'm writing, which is weird, for a magazine here in Memphis called Midtown Living. And today was one of those days I was like, you know, really shoving the deadline to get, you know, the next month done, because they like to plan ahead. They have to make sure, they have to deal with people like me, and so I'm right. They asked me to write about the music business and a little bit, I guess, sort of what this show kind of is about. You know, you're poking things. Most of it here of late has been like album reviews and, you know, personality profiles of certain musicians and whatnot. Because, in my position, I hang out with them. I hang out with circus animals. That's just kind of what this is. And I say that with all love, you know that. But I was sitting here thinking, I blocked out some time to get this done because I'm also doing just an ass ton of other stuff. Got a lot going on. I'm a busy guy, which is good. And that was something that I wanted to have happen for this new year. And we'll get into the whole new year thing here in a minute. But I kept telling myself, I need to be busy. I need to be doing more stuff. I don't have enough to do, which is really insane to say, as I work like 7 days a week as it is. But it's funny how you find the time to make these things happen, especially if it's stuff that's valid, stuff that you want to do, something that you feel that you kind of have to do. And so, my thanks to Midtown Living, Denise, who edits my column. Sorry, honey. I know it can be a handful at times because it's meant to be, it's a very family oriented thing. So I can't use bits of language that this show does use bits of colorful language. And be that as it may, I'll write something and I'll back up and I can't say it like this. I gotta say it like this. And even the double entendre stuff, you got to be careful about that as well, because, you know, people manufactured outrage is the thing. So, that's a thing. I'm not going to tell you what I wrote about because although most of you won't even see it, because I don't think many of you who listen to the show live in Midtown or get the thing. If you're a homeowner in Midtown, you get a copy of this thing delivered in your mailbox, whether you want it or not. It just shows up. It's a short little magazine looking thing. And really, I will tell you this. I wrote about it's called State of the Stage, I think is what it is. And it's about the venues and, you know, the what it's like to be a musician working in Memphis. I could have gone on and on and on, but they only limit me in space and time. And it's stuff I've talked about over here before. And it's always worth revisiting a time or two. But not this episode now, because I wanted to talk about the new year and how we all fit into it. And it's going to be interesting, I think. I don't know. It might if I just suck out loud. Because this is all free form. I get asked, does your scripting, bro? Nobody. It's just a free range, free thought type thing for good or ill. Nothing really gets edited out of it. I think out of what 308 episodes, well, this being 308, and this one's not anywhere near finished. I think I've only had to like bust one completely and start all over. I think twice. I think out of 307 episodes, I've only had to do that twice. One was a technical error. The other one was me having a mouth error. And it happens. It's, you know, it's rare, thankfully. And having spent 35 years in this business or more, you learn pretty quickly how to think on your feet or on your ass, as the case may be, because that's what I'm doing right now, sitting on my ass and talking to you. So, yeah, we're going to get into the whole New Year thing. So there is that. We'll pause. We'll be back in a moment. It's a 30-second spot. Calm down. Just listen to it and do what it says.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Yeah, buddy, here we are, 2020, January the 5th, specifically, fifth day of the new decade, the new year, the turning of the calendar. And there's always talk, you see it, you know, as especially in mid-December, you start seeing it in social media, people talking about themselves. It's going to be a new year, new me thing. They don't really talk so much about the resolutions. Some people might mention, I'm not going to be drinking for the month of January, which, okay, that's fine if you want, or if you want to quit completely, it's up to you. A lot of people are like, I'm going to back away from the pie for a while. Got to drop the winter weight. Spring will be here before you know it. Hell, it practically is. It's damn near 70 out there now. But these things all fade away so quickly, these resolutions that it's gone so quickly now that I think people have just kind of given up on the whole idea. Except for, of course, the gym membership people. Those that because there are people who go, yep, since the holidays are over, I'm joining a gym and I'm gonna get my fat ass in shape. And they more power to them. If that's what you want to do, that's great. But by February, mid-February, there's tumbleweeds blowing through the gym. A lot of it is that people realize that they're just not going to keep up with that. What was it? There was a meme that was going around. I don't know who all is involved in it visually, but the text of it was, what is a New Year's resolution? Or what are New Year's resolutions? And the other person says it's a checklist for the first week of January, which kind of makes sense in some aspect. I don't make any resolutions or anything like that. There's general stuff. I'd like to have this. I'd like to be more busy. I'd like to be, you know, make a couple of extra bucks. There's some things I want to be able to do, some things I want to accomplish project wise. I need to get this done. But see, that happens to me and for a lot of folks all year round, because there's none of this. I'm not one of these people who sits there and posts those ridiculous memes about who rides with me, ride or die, bruh. I got your back, bruh. And anybody says different, they all have to deal with me. You know, there's that. And then there's, you know, I'm not going to talk about what I want to do with my new year or what I want to accomplish in my new years. I'm going to walk the walk and not talk the talk, or whatever that one's going on. And there's like a bunch of people have been posting it. And they use like the Joker as the visual background on it. Like, well, there's a role model for you. It's what we do is society. I think that's a thing. It's like a tradition, because really we're still in the holiday season, believe it or not. We are still in it. There's still parties happening. It does, because you've got what is called for the Catholics. You've got the Epiphany or Little Christmas, which I think is the 13th of January. I think somewhere along those lines. Is usually that's about the time the tree comes down in a lot of Catholic families. We've seen trees come out today after Christmas, but you got the Epiphany coming up, and really all that is an excuse to crack open another bottle. That's really all it is. It's just get busy. Let's get, you know, we're going to have some fun. And then you got, of course, February, which should, you know, and then it'll be spring again. And then we're already back into it, bitching about how the new year is going. Well, look, let's be fair here. 2020 has already started out with an interesting sort of bang with, the drone strike in Iraq, killing some Iranian general, which, you know, I'm not going to get into it here. It just seems like a pretty bad idea. And I love the excuse was, well, we're doing it so we can prevent a war. And now there's, what, 65,000 troops over there, and there that's not an exaggeration. And then there's, you know, everybody's, you know, drawing their lines in the sand, and here's my targets, and the other guy's going, here's my targets, and we're going to retaliate, and we're not going to take this, and now we're in a war, I guess. And I don't know what to think of it. And no, look. And while I'm thinking about it, let's set something completely straight about this. I know I'm kind of wandering around here, but we're barely a week into the year, and we're already talking about this. The Twitter sphere went nuts by taking, I don't know, somebody had said the words World War III, and people ran with it and started freaking out, and they bombarded the Selective Service website. The government site, because, you know, in this country, when you're 18, you have to sign up for the Selective Service. You have between like 18 and 21 to do it. And I don't know that everybody does it anymore. I don't really pay much attention to it. But the idea behind the Selective Service was that was the draft. Well, the United States of America did away with the draft and had an all-volunteer military by 1973, thanks in part to the unpopularity of the Vietnam War. Because a lot of people just didn't, they were burning draft cards. They were like, no, screw you. We're not going to go do this. And that's the way it shook out. And that's the way it worked. And somebody in Congress said, hey, let's just make it an all volunteer thing. I think we'll be okay. And we have been up until apparently now. No, there's not going to be a draft. That's not going to happen. I could be like wrong on this, but I would bet my bottom dollar on the fact that there will not be a draft, because the United States, our military is big. There's like, what, 1.5 million people that work in our military. That's a lot. That's a pretty substantial amount of folks. And these are dedicated people. And these are people who voluntarily came to, you know, take advantage of what they can do for their lives and what they can do for their country. And because of that, I have nothing but the utmost respect for these folks. And, you know, I appreciate y'all doing that. But a draft, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be a thing. First of all, this is, and to be frank, this is an unpopular situation in Iraq. It's in the Middle East. It's going to be an unpopular thing. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to go, wait, what? Draft? I ain't going. And there's going to be a lot of that if this were to come to pass. Will it be a third world war? No, I don't think that's going to happen anyway. But I will tell you this, as far as retaliation against the United States in general, it's not like they're going to be launching rockets at us. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think you have anything to worry about with that. What they are probably going to do, because in the Middle East, they're actually pretty good at this, they like to carry out cyber attacks. And they can, in theory, mind you, they can do things like screw with the banking systems that are online, and they can screw with a lot of, they can screw with social media, which is like no great loss, really. But, if that were the case, that's the case. And, I would like to think that the intelligence departments of the United States are trying to, I'm sure there's a whole division of cyber warfare that they deal with, and they're keeping a close eye on this sort of stuff. And it's got to be pretty specialized. It's got to be fantastically interesting to see how they do this. But that's obviously some of those secrets are better kept secret. You know what I mean? So, if there's going to be a cyber attack, I'm sure there's ways that they can at least attempt to stop it and whatnot. So, you just have to put your faith in that the men and women that work in these departments are on it. Now, what starts it, whoever lights the match, whoever's, running their mouth or throwing stones, that's a whole different deal. And we're going to be dealing with that probably in November, if not sooner. Be that as it may. Running around saying the sky is falling and freaking out and spreading false information is not doing anybody any good. We learned this lesson a long time ago, and we're still learning it, but it's still just not coming around. But what's happening, and I do see this, I think that cooler heads are beginning to prevail in a lot of things, where it's a lot of people are going, just stop it. Stop it with the fake news. Stop it with the misinformation. I felt like there for a while I was like, Sisyphus pushing the giant rock up the hill with never attaining, the goal of getting it over the top. But it seems that enough people have had enough bullshit. And that's what 2020, I think, is really going to boil down to. I think this year is going to be the year, I guess you could call it an awakening of some sort. Not necessarily a mass awakening. It's not necessarily a... I don't know, the epiphany is coming. That could be part of it. But the idea is that I think a lot of people have just said, enough with the bullshit. We've been dealing with this ridiculous amount of bullshit that has just been compounding itself, multiplying like crazy, since at least 2016, probably even before that, 2014 maybe. We've seen the amount of shit that has been laid out onto everybody, and everybody else is finally getting sick of it to the point that they're calling people on it. Thank God. Call people on their bullshit. You have to. And, you know, make that a resolution if you want to do something. But don't forget about it come February or March. You know, it's that, you know, that whole new year, new you, my ass. Nobody's going to keep up with their personal resolutions because they're back in the bars. They're either back in the cake line. They're having another slice of pie. That's just, you know, the way it goes. If you feel like you need to lose some weight, don't do it for vanity reasons. Do it for your own health, for God's sake. As such. But yes, the new year does mark an interesting time, in at least in American history, where a lot of people are trying to kind of get a grip on what's going on around them. And I think this is it. I think we've come to this. We're coming to a point now, and this will be good. This will be very good. It'll be painful, but it'll be good. It'll be this whole idea of, hey, knock it off. Shut the fuck up, okay? Don't be pushing bad information around. Don't be fear-mongering. And the media is pretty good at that. That's how they've made their living for generations. It's trying to scare the shit out of you. That was sort of the whole point, really. Does it do any good? Yeah, it keeps people watching. I think it was Dennis Leary that said, we were talking about the addiction that people have or have had to television, was that, you know, in the past, it was like, this was interesting. It was a box with some lights. It was wires. We sort of laughed. Maybe we got alarmed by some of the things we saw. And then we saw this. We saw Lee Harvey Oswald getting killed on live television. And ever since that point, we've been too afraid to turn the damn thing off. Because now we're addicted. It's a bloodlust. And that's kind of what this is all turned into, because he got, like, for example, the Iranian or the Iraqi Iran or whatever you want, the Middle Eastern situation that we're dealing with right now. People are going, there's this bloodlust. There's people that go, oh, yeah, thank God. Well, we need to murder every one of these people. And then there's other people that on the other side of the fence going, wait a minute. We didn't. Nobody asked us. No, nobody talked to us about this. There was no escalation. Now, why? What's all this about? We want answers to our questions, and that's what's happening. A lot of people are starting to do that, and they're starting to blow the whistle. They're throwing the flag. They're raising the cards. They're doing whatever they can to get the attention of people to say, hey, what the hell is going on? Because I'm tired of the bullshit. We can't believe 2/3 of everything that we see out there. Case in point, LJ and I were talking about this on the morning show last week. I guess it was Friday, about an interesting statistic I saw involving social media and the internet specifically. Social media specifically, but the internet in general. And it revolves around what you see and what you consume as far as what it is. It's information, right? That's all it is. It's information, whether it's a video, whether it's a story that you're reading, a blog, a podcast, a radio show, a television show, whatever the case may be that you're consuming via the internet. You have to understand that the leveling of the ground that the internet did provide is really becoming a little more smoother now. We're starting to see some real results of what's going on. Because let's be honest here, the internet has been around for a while, okay? It didn't really get popular till what, the mid-90s. Early to mid-90s is when things really started to get kind of interesting. Late 90s specifically. AOL was the thing, you remember. And the whole point here is, that I'm trying to make is that if you look across the breadth of the things that you see and consume online, it is created by 5% of the people currently online. The other 95% are doing nothing more than sharing, repeating, copying as their own, plagiarizing, whatever the case may be. But it's still, it's just 5% of what you see out there is original content. It's a pretty stark thing, really, if you think about it, because it's such a small number. You would think it would be a lot more. But let's be fair here. If you're looking at things like influencers on Instagram or social media influencers or YouTubers or whatever those people are, the internet famous, they're not doing anything new. It may seem sort of new, and there's nothing really compelling about it. One of the more popular YouTube channels are people that walk around with a camera aimed at themselves while they travel in a foreign country to see what life is like. Well, it's interesting to a point, but, you know, it's still, it's a dipshit in front of a camera going, look, it's the Shroud of Turin, or whatever it is that they're talking about. They're not adding any real substance to what's going on there. Although I will say that Evan Hadfield's Rare Earth is a fantastic series. It's really, really interesting. Evan Hadfield is the son of Chris Hadfield, the astronaut. And Evan travels the world, but he's showing you things and he's telling you some things that you probably have never really heard or seen about. So if you're into history or geography, you know, take a look at Rare Earth. It's interesting. And each one of those episodes are very evergreen and very well produced, I might add. And he's a hell of a speaker. He's very, very good at what he does. But it's not humorous at all. It's not meant to be humorous. It's rather dry. But you do walk away from it feeling like you've got something. And then meanwhile, you've got the other big hit on YouTube now is the Bon Appetit people. Holy Jesus, man. Talk about something that took off. Man, it went crazy. If you're into food, just search up the Bon Appetit YouTube channel and have fun. I would have just ruined an evening for you there. So, you know, there is that. But remember, of the original content that you see out there, it's created by 5% of all of us. Isn't this something? Not that this program does. I mean, it's original content. I mean, I'm not taking this from anywhere else. It's just me running my mouth is really all it is. Some of my thoughts. And thankfully, there's enough of you out there who think that what I have to say is somewhat valuable to you. And I appreciate it. Time is the only commodity that we have. We don't get back. So thank you for that, for spending your time with me. And I appreciate it. But it's food for thought. And that's the whole idea. That's probably what I should change. It's not From Radio Land. It should be Food for Thought. No, I'm too lazy to go through that problem. But the idea here is to give you something to think about. And granted, I do come at, you know, just about every topic out there that we talk about has to deal with television or radio or what's happening in social media. You know, I like to be critical of it. And the reason being is that because that's where we all are. The 95% of us that are there that are consuming the 5% other people stuff, we're the ones that are sitting there looking at each other. We're not really looking at the 5%, you know? You ever notice that? You're not really looking at the content creator so much as you are like, oh, I see. I'm going to take this from my, oh, that's a cute meme. Oh, that's a great photograph. I'm going to share that joke. Or they'll say, hey, I'm stealing this. They do it all the time, you know? Well, it's, you know, what are you going to do? Because we all know now, don't we, that everything that you put on social media never belongs to you in the first place. That's sort of the interesting thing about Facebook. And Instagram doesn't. You don't own your photographs that you post to Instagram. I don't care how big of a photographer you are in the world. They're not yours. They don't belong to you. The second you uploaded them into Instagram, that belongs to Instagram. So you can thank Mark Zuckerberg for all of that. You got to read the terms of service. Sure, it's not a bathroom read by any chance or choice, but there's a lot going on to that. Read the terms of service. They own you. They own your content. Well, it's all right. We're sitting there. I'm stealing this. I'm sharing that. I'm putting this over here. I'm getting the word out. We're talking. Man, I'm connected to this, that, and the other, and here we go. And everybody's opinion then becomes an echo chamber, and we've seen so much of that. That's what's happening in the 95% of the rest of us online, is that it's we're sitting here listening to each other babble about stuff that we either agree or disagree with. There's either a yes or a no. That's really kind of all there is to it. There's not much middle ground anymore. And I think that's what's happening in the year 2020, as I mentioned before. I think we've gotten past the bullshit. I'm trying to be optimistic about it. And I think there is some truth to this. It may not be as aggressive as I would hoped it would be, but still, maybe our society has decided that enough was enough and we just start to tune it out. This is a year of big change, 2020. Because I think we expect more out of ourselves. I think we expect more out of society. We expect more out of our generational differences. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about okay, boomer. You know, but that was short lived because it just they kind of quit. I can't blame them. I guess it could have been from people like me who had said all along, hey, you know what? Maybe the millennials have something right here. Maybe, you know, there comes a point where you have to let go and let the younger generation deal with this, because Lord knows the boomer generation screwed it up for a lot of folk. But if you want to learn more about it, you can go back in time and find it. It was episode 302 that I talked about it. So if you wanted to go back and hear what that was back in November 24, around Thanksgiving. So, you know, if you want to hear what that was all about, go back there. But nevertheless, we're living in this time. That's where I'm going. We're living in this time now where we are expecting more. We're demanding more of ourselves. We're demanding more accountability, I think, is starting to come around. Sure, there's still going to be the asshole out there that doesn't give a shit and who thinks it's all about them, which is fine. It's always been that way. That's never changed. There's going to be selfish assholes wherever you go. And that's its own archetype. But by and large, collectively, we're starting to realize that when you see what's happening in places like Hong Kong, where they've had enough of the hobnailed boot on the neck, you know, the oppressor is they're fighting a revolution. It's come to this now. There's a younger generation out there that says, enough bullshit. We're moving on. And that's what's causing some of the friction that's out there. That's what's causing some of the friction here in the United States. You know, you can make the stereotypical conclusions all you want to about what, you know, you can, you know, tell by someone's, I don't know, appearance or their age or whatever the case may be as to what they support politically or not. That's neither here nor there. It does happen. And sometimes the stereotypes can be reflective of an idea of what may or may not be true, but the fight is still on. And now you've got enough younger people out there who have said, okay, boomer, we're done. And that's what happens. And you fight the fight, you continue on, and you look forward to a good new year. That's the whole point. I think we all do. I mean, I've said this before. I enjoy more than anything in this world two major holidays, one of which is Thanksgiving. The other of which is New Year's. I enjoy New Year's. New Year's is fun. New Year's is, I tell you why it's fun to me. It's that installation of hope that now that we can look back behind us and say, yeah, and it's a calendar, but it's a markable calendar. It's a bookmark, you know. You can look back over the past year and go, yeah, you know, there were some good times, there were some bad times, you know. We tend to focus more on the bad times than we do the good because that's just what humans do. I can tell you from personal experience, 2019 was not all that bad for me. Personally, professionally, it's been a good year. The last half of it was really good. 2020, starting off with a bang, having some fun, doing some things. I'm continuing on with the trends from 2019 and what was made it positive for me. So I look at it as if there's a bit of hope out there for us. And I do like it. There's a guy out there with a motorcycle. There's a guy. there's a thing that I like to do sometime early morning, New Year's Day. It's not like I've gone to bed. It's right before I go to bed usually. And I do this on Christmas Eve as well. I'll grab a cocktail. End of the night, the nightcap, if you will. Step outside, breathe in the air, listen to the peacefulness of what's going on. Typically, it's fairly quiet. Early wee mornings of the hours, unlike the asshole with the small penis out there. And you look up at the moon, perhaps if you're lucky to have that. If the weather's okay, or the stars. And you realize, you know, we're just a bunch of chattering apes traveling through space in an organic spaceship. That's really all we are. We get really small when you think of it that way. That's not a bad thing. That helps put things into perspective. To realize that For example, you look at something like the planet Venus, which is really all up in everybody's sky these days because it's the time of the year for it. It's a gorgeous planet. It's absolutely beautiful. But you don't think about the fact on the surface of that thing, it's a living hell. It really is. Because it's all, it's not the appearance of it. It's the reality of it. So maybe sometimes for that few moments where it's quiet and like taking a deep breath and enjoy my cocktail, that for a moment that I have some hope that it's going to be okay. And I think that it is. I think everything's going to be. It's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to win some. We're going to lose some. We're going to gain some things. And we're gonna really lose some things. This is the way it works. Some people will live, some people will not. I'm not talking about war, I'm just talking about the way that it is. It's you know, people live, people die. Some good fortune will befall some of us, and some bad fortune will befall some others. But if we have some hope, we'll be okay. And I think that's a good positive way to take a look and what's happening this new year, don't you think? If not, fine, go fuck yourself.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I have taken pity, I don't know, for good or ill, on our newspaper delivery individual, whoever that might be. Here in Memphis, it's really fascinating because we used to print the paper here in Memphis. Now it's printed in Jackson, which is about an hour and a half east of here. And then they have to print it at an earlier hour so they can get it back into town and get it delivered. And my wife, who still likes to read the actual paper, the newspaper itself, she gets a little more dismayed and disturbed by the fact that she's paying however much a month it is for this ridiculous thing. And it's delivered at midnight, which is sort of interesting too. And it's often when I'm outside. So I usually get to, I pity the paper delivery person because the paper has gotten to be so light. The Monday paper is nothing more than like, I don't know, six, maybe eight pages. And they're cramming it into this stupid little plastic thing so it doesn't get wet. And it's so light they can't even get it to your driveway. What is the stinking point?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. This was coming up next time on the program. Here from Radioland. Tonight, yes, tonight we got a show for you kids. If you happen to catch it, this is Sunday. Let's remind you, it's Sunday, the 5th day of January, as we often do, and it will be time for the Booze and the Blues, as we do every Sunday, each and every Sunday night at radio-memphis.com, available on any device. It's a live blues show, and it's some conversation. It's fun. It's live music. It's a hoot. Tonight, it's the House Blend Band featuring our good friend, Mr. Ted Alvarez. T.O. Alvarez. Ted, I believe, we'll learn more tonight. Ted is from Cuba. He's a Cuban. He's a Memphian now, but he's Cuban. And when you talk to him, he goes, yeah, English is my second language. And he speaks it better than a lot of people I know that never speak any other language. But anyway, it'll be a fine time tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time. On your device at radio-memphis.com. Tune in and enjoy the fun as we do. Also, some other news and notes. Monday, the first full week of the new year, everybody's getting back into the grind of things. And with Radio Memphis, that is no different, as well as we've got a brand new, not really brand new, it's retooled, if you will. Nah, it's not even that. It's updated. It's an updated version of the morning show, the Radio Memphis in the Morning Show that I've been co-hosting now for several years. Solo hosting for a good chunk of that. But that's all changing. We've got a new guy that has joined us. LJ is joining us. It's Rick and LJ in the morning at Radio Memphis in the morning, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, going till 2 p.m. Central Time. It's a good way to waste most of your working day. if you're in a job that you don't like and you're allowed to put in some earbuds or some headphones, you can tune in and have some fun. We play a little bit of music. We talk a lot about stuff that's happening in the world. But it's stuff. It's not like the major news stuff. We do touch on some of that stuff, but for the most part, we're looking at stuff that you probably have not heard. And you'll leave the show knowing more than you did or having completely wasted your time. But it allows you to kind of multitask, and we invite you to tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at radio-memphis.com for Radio Memphis in the morning. Also Monday, tomorrow, in the nooner, Butch Mudbone will join Donna as she takes over for an hour on the program in the nooner from noon to 1. And that's our good friend, Mr. Butch Mudbone. He'll be dabbling about on the keyboard. So that'll be fun. So there you go. All the fun can be found at radio-memphis.com. That's quite the promo. Nothing like a little dead air, huh? I was just sitting there thinking about an unpopular thought. That unpopular thought is spending $30 a month to go to the gym is a waste of your money if you have no intention of ever going. I know. It's stark. It's the reality of it. And if you do go to the gym, and if you are really going to hold out and go to the damn thing, which is fine. If you want to do that, that's great. It's your money, it's your life. Whatever the hell. I don't give a shit. Will you please, especially if you've never done this before, if you've never been to the gym, please, for the love of God, use the towels that they give you to wipe down your sweaty sweat puddle, whatever it is, the gravy, the fat man gravy that you leave on the bench. Please, for the sake of God, don't leave that behind for some. Get a trainer and learn to do it right. Okay, that's that. I sound like I go to the gym. I don't. I will tell you this before I get out of here. It's a brief little story. When I worked at Clear Channel, the Evil Empire, when they had their studios, which I think they still do, out in East Memphis at Perkins and American Way, I think. We were in this one. There was like a group of buildings, and the building that we were in, we were up on the fourth floor. Down on the ground floor, you've heard me talk about this place before. It was the gym. They had a gym down there, and you had free access to it if you were an employee of somebody in the building. You could go in, and they had treadmills. They had free weights. They had treadmills. They had a television. They had a stationary bike or two or something like that. What do you call it? Elliptical machine, I guess is what it was. And they had a shower in there. They had lockers. You had a gym, for God's sake. You could go in there and work out on your lunch break. Or go to work a little bit early and go hit the gym and shower up and go do your gig. Or afterward, or whatever the case may be. So so we moved to this thing, and my wife is telling me, she goes, well, maybe you should take advantage of it and use the treadmill. I needed to drop a few pounds. I'll admit, I was a bit tubby. So this lasted about a week. And I'll tell you why it didn't last. I went in there, and there would always be somebody that worked in the building that would use that room as a place to hide from the man, I guess. And usually, because I'd get off the air about 10, I'd have some production, I'd be done by 11:30, 12 o'clock. So about noon, I would hit the gym for about an hour before I'd make my ass home. And it got to the point where it was just, I hated it. And I'll tell you why I hated it, is that there was a guy in there that, like I said, he worked in one of the somewhere in the building, or he worked for the building, I guess. I don't know. He may have been the maintenance guy, but he hung out in there. And next to the treadmill was a bench. It was a free weight bench, right? And he would sit there on it without fail. He would sit there on this bench watching television, because there was a TV on in there, but he'd be watching like Oprah. And this is no joke. He had a plate, like a dinner plate, knife and fork, and he's eating him a meat and three, It might be meatloaf one day, might be chicken the other day, might be whatever whatever. And he's eating like he's going to the electric chair, and he's sitting there on this bench watching Oprah as loud as it can be. And I'm over there trying to get on the treadmill for a minute. Like I said, I would. And as it turns out, I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, this is ridiculous. First of all, I hadn't eaten yet, so I'm already kind of hungry, and I'm smelling what this guy's doing. And he's just sitting there, fat as he can possibly be, enjoying the hell out of his life, phoning it in with a meet and three in the gym, watching the Oprah while my ass is on. Forget it. So from that point forward, I gave up the treadmill, never set foot on one ever again. But I walk close to 2 miles a day. So there you go. I did that years ago. Still do it. Just came in from one not too long ago before I sat down to record this show. So you see, you don't need a treadmill. And it's far more interesting to walk outside, you know, because, well, you're getting some fresh air. And, you know, if you got a dog, he likes to go for a walk too. And then, you know, you see your neighbors, you're seeing people, you're getting out in the front. That's, I can go on and on about it. But, you know, it's a long way around the barn to tell you a dumb story about the gym at Thousand Oaks. Right, I'm done. I'm out of here. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, please stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.